Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends, with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen.
Tom, we're global.
We are so global right now.
We're so global.
We should start off by saying sorry to everybody for missing last week. It's not something we
I'm sorry.
People were refreshing their feeds, Suze.
No way.
That's what they said to me.
Refreshing the feed?
They were refreshing their feeds to try and wait for us to come in. Oh, I felt terrible.
Well, should we explain what happened? So first of all, we were both at the Montreal Comedy Festival, Just for Laughs.
Just for Laughs is what it's called.
Just for Laughs is what it's called.
That wasn't, we weren't being flippant about why we went there.
Which was a treat, but to give people a bit of background, I don't know if you remember, a little while ago, I did a little job in Morocco, which was a lot of fun.
She did.
Where I drove for maybe 100, maybe 150 hours,
oh.
100 to 150 hours with Maisie Adam.
Mm.
And what I've done, and I don't know what the technical term is, but I think it's this, is I've fucked my back. She's just fucked it.
Gosh, Suze. Oh, no. What about one of those bead things? Could you sit on those in the car? Would that help?
What, like those things? They were quite popular in the 90s.
Like minicab drivers have. Mmm. I just suddenly thought about those.
My Auntie Jackie had one, and she also used to have, one of those things that you'd put in the car window so it didn't get too hot. Do you remember those? With like a picture on.
Oh, I think I do remember those. I remember the traffic light ones, car refreshers. Is it along those lines?
No, I don't mean like that. I mean something you'd literally put in the window of your car to stop the sun getting in.
Oh, I do remember those. Yes, my mum used to have one.
The type of thing, if you were having a very posh photo shoot, someone might put underneath you to bounce some light towards your mooey.
Yes! And she put it underneath your what, dear? Bounce light onto your what?
Your mooey. That's the Portsmouth word for face.
Oh, thank goodness you clarified that. That's not what I thought it was. I was like...
Oh, did you think I was talking about my nun?
Why are people putting lights up their chuffs? Yeah.
Well, listen, Tom, people...
People do. People do.
There are people, potentially people listening to this podcast right now, putting a light up their chuff.
Doing it right now, probably, yeah. Gosh, like Blackpool Illuminations up there.
You know what they say, you've got to find your light. Wasn't that what Greta Garbo used to say?
Oh, my goodness. Well, now we know where she put it.
No wonder it wasn't on her face.
No wonder she was looking for it.
Do you know?
Yes.
Marlene Dietrich used to find her light. Do you know when they used to, because you know makeup was like really, it would have been like really heavy back in the days when she was making films. Yeah. She wouldn't want to get her face in the light before they turned over. So she'd put her hand in the space that she knew that she had to stand so that she knew where to stand for how hot it would be.
Oh.
I mean, this is something I read in a book, but I think it was also a book that could be full of lies.
Look, if you want to believe the book, then the book is right for you. I don't think people would lie about a fact like that. Why would they? Why should they?
Why would they lie? Why would they tell such fibs?
Why lie? Why lie? Do you also remember those car sickness things that people would have in their car, which would be like a sort of tag that dragged on the floor that was supposed to prevent car sickness?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It was like a thin strip of plastic, and it attached the back of the car next to the exhaust pipe, and it dragged on the floor.
No, you're thinking of people that have just got married, surely.
No, I'm not. This is literally a thing.
Oh, producer Emma is saying it was supposed to ground the car. Whatever the fuck that means.
Oh, for lightning, I suppose. Oh, that makes sense. It wasn't for travel sickness.
For lightning? How much lightning was happening?
Oh, a lot back in the day. There was loads of it.
What, do you think more lightning was happening then than now?
Just look at all those horror films. They always had it. Always.
That's true.
Frankenstein.
If we can trust anything, it's horror. The horror franchises.
You've opened a book about Marlene Dietrich, and I've watched a Hammer horror, and we've treated them both as facts. As record.
Do you remember C-bands that you put on your wrists?
Well, that's my next question. The ones with the ball in the middle.
Tom, I still wear those.
For car puking.
For car puking. If I'm doing like, if I'm going in a car with other comics, just so that they know I'm really cool.
Yeah, that's a great way to make them relax, isn't it? The thought that you might chunder at any moment.
That's a great way to make friends.
Yeah.
Well, only if I'm driving, it's fine, or if I'm in the front. But if I'm in the back, I've got to put on the old C-bands.
Oh, I get it in the back a bit, actually.
Just in case.
I get more car sickness.
But you're mad because you read a book in the back of a car.
No, can't read a book in the back of the car.
No, you'd do your emails, would you?
I can do my emails and I can look at my phone, but sometimes I can't. And I don't know why.
Maybe it's emails that I was thinking of.
I can do some admin. I can do admin, yeah, in the car.
That's very good. See, if I did admin, it would be vomit.
Vomit. Oh, no, yeah. Advom. Blah. Yeah.
Can you make this gig? Blah. Yeah, I'll be like,
blah. Oh, no. Oh, no, I find if I get a bit like that, I open the window and I actually put my wrist out the window. So I suppose that's where those balls must come in.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
put my balls out the window.
I hate it when you put your balls out the window. That's one of the reasons we had to stop touring together.
He gets car sick.
I thought you were going to say you put your head out the window like a puppy.
I have been known to do that as well, like a dog. Yeah.
That would really worry me. I would worry that someone else would go by very fast in a car and they would maybe take my head with them.
Exactly. Or a tunnel. You could be decapitated.
Oh, no. No, thank you, Tom. Unsubscribe to that.
A real nightmare when you think about it. Unsubscribe immediately.
Yeah. So I've got a bad back.
It's worth thinking about. The long and the short of it is she's hurt her back.
She's hurt her back.
So
we couldn't do the podcast.
You had a lot of struggles.
I had a lot of struggles.
But it wasn't just that. And then your venue caught fire.
So my venue caught fire. So I was going out to do... So Tom was on a show called British, which was an excellent lineup of dear friends.
Dear friends.
And I was on an excellent bill from comics from across the globe called New Faces, which made me feel good because, let me tell you, since I've had that baby, my face feels ever so old.
But it wasn't a show about facelifts. That's what we just wanted to establish. No, we've literally got a new face.
Well, it was hugely disappointing because, of course, as soon as I got to Montreal, I thought, where's the surgeon?
And, of course, you had it completely down.
Have you got any bulldog clips to just put at the back of my neck? New Faces International, so it's people that had never gigged in North America before and were coming to sort of to be seen by whoever's there. I don't know. The industry. Everyone kept saying the industry. I'm never 100% sure what that means.
People saw you. That's all that matters.
All that matters.
It sounds like it was an absolute triumph. That's what I heard.
Well, it was a very nice gig. But anyway, what happened was we're there the first night. It's very stressful. Reese Nicholson, very funny Australian comic, was hosting for us. And just before we were getting ready to go out, the room was filling up. There's whitterings in the dressing room. Oh, there's loads of industry and lots of people here to see us. It's very exciting.
Peeking behind the curtain.
Peeking, literally, a peek behind the curtain. And then the fire alarm started going off, which isn't that unusual in venue. Like, I feel like that's something that happens at the Edinburgh Festival quite a lot.
Oh, it happened to me, like, three or four times one year at the Edinburgh Festival. I had to do my gig in the car park.
I finished my show in the car park one year.
Oh, yeah, maybe that was the same year. Happened so much. I got so annoyed.
Maybe we should have just done the car park. It would have been so much cheaper than the venue we had to pay.
I've always fancied working in an NCP, yeah.
I think it would suit you.
I think it would on the barrier.
Can I try to check it, Plage? So, the fire alarm starts going off. We obviously all don't even consider moving.
World weary.
Because you think, well, that's a mistake. And then it was when we started smelling smoke that I thought, do you know what?
That's a worry.
I feel like this might be an actual fire. Then we heard people in the auditorium saying, everyone must get out. Don't rush, but just go towards the exits. They're lit.
They're lit. Oh, my God. That's great. They're lit AF. But also, sometimes, you know, I do think a fire drill is a time for certain people to really have their moment, isn't it? Some people get really into it.
Look, Tom.
So you can't always trust people's dramatic voices.
I hate to lean into a cliche, but let me tell you.
Well.
There was what I might have assumed was a lesbian with a clipboard and an earpiece.
Look, I can see the situation right now.
But I think, as a lesbian, I think we are good in a moment of panic.
Let me tell you, I would follow a lesbian out of a burning building. No question.
Well, of course you would. You'd be with me.
Of course. I would just be following you. Yeah.
Anyway, what I'm saying is you trust a lesbian in a burning building.
I would absolutely.
Maybe more than a gay man. I'm just saying, don't shoot the messenger.
Absolutely. I think it's actually what the Bible story is about with Moses and the burning bush. I think he was talking.
Is that an actual story, Moses and the burning bush?
Yes, told him to lead his people through the desert, as I understand, leading up to the parting of the Red Sea. But I might be wrong. It's one interpretation.
I'd hate it if you were, because that is so funny.
It's one interpretation.
So now they're like, cast, don't grab your personal belongings. Just get in a single file and follow us down these stairs. So still at this point, I'm thinking someone's like had a fag, you know, by which I mean cigarette.
You're in North America, just in case. Which is like...
Apologies.
Someone had bummed a fag.
And it's called fire, baby.
And one thing had led to another. You know, people have a great time.
Baby, I'm burning out of control. Baby, I'm burning.
People are like, please stop. It's very dry out there. You're going to set fire to the building.
So then we were walking down the stairs. It was at that point we realised that it potentially was quite, it was an issue, because there was a door that was closed. Okay. But underneath the door, black, smoky water was just pouring out.
Smoky water, like a whiskey or what?
Yeah, like it was like blackened water. And then there was like little bits of vapour coming through as well.
Oh,
so basically what happened is there was a fire in the workshop. Again, the fire type of thing.
Like a fire in the disco.
Like a fire in the disco, but if you're a lesbian. There was a fire in the workshop. This podcast is leaning into so many stereotypes today, and I can imagine people tutting left, right and centre.
Is that all we are? Just outdated stereotypes?
Yes, we are.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
So there's water pouring out. We have to go and stand in like a courtyard for... And then what we watched over the space of an hour was just... I think significant people from the industry, whatever that industry is. Yeah. I've done the plumbing awards.
Of course. You've said that's an industry.
Well, it'd have been useful if they were there at that time.
Yeah, where were they?
Just filter away. And then it was very stressful because they were like, we might have to cancel the showcase. And then you think, oh my God, I've come a very long way to do a 6-minute set for no one. So then what did we do, Tom? We went to Schwartz.
We went to a deli and had a sandwich, because I just think that's always the best way to deal with a situation, isn't it? Just have a sandwich.
Well, what I immediately did was we were with our dear friend Lily, friend of the show, Lily Morris, who works with us both. And she was, as ever, a tower of strength. But she, I was like, I'll find Tom. He'll solve this. And so I found you. And we went and got a beef sandwich.
And they had beef in the windows, and I said it was like beef curtains.
You did. You took a picture of me next to the beef curtains.
Oh, yes, we haven't posted that.
We must. We simply must. And loads of pickles.
And very phallic pickles.
Those pickles were good, weren't they, Tom?
Mmm, such a great sandwich.
I would say one of the top five sandwiches of my life.
Yeah, I would agree.
It was so good. And I loved the briskness of the brisket seller.
Oh, lovely, lovely, yeah.
He was very friendly, but there was a real New York, this is what you should have. This is the thing.
Yeah.
If you've come here, you've come here for the smoked meat.
You've got to have this.
You've got to have this. How many pickles? Do you want some fries? Here's your bill. Mm. Like, they gave us our bill, I think, before we ate. It was so brisk.
Yeah, basically, it was so brisk. but in a lovely way. It was all very nice. We went over to the counter and paid at the end. Do you remember we once talked about on this podcast a chickle? The chicken and pickle sandwich, as I believe it was.
No, I don't remember this.
The pickle acting as the bread. Years ago, I remember it was a real sensation at the time and a big moment for us, Suze. But,
was that in our episode, Are You a Person or a Sandwich?
Yes, it was around about that time, I think, yeah. And I think we discussed some of our favourite sandwiches back in the day when we bothered to have themes. And we talked about it and a lot of people were very excited about the chicle, but this was not a day that was available either. But I'm just saying the pickles were big enough that you could have done the chicle.
The pickle was so big. It was so unbelievably phallic that if you were with members of the family, it would have been quite embarrassing.
It would have been an embarrassment. Yeah. It would have been it would have been uncomfortably asexual.
You're basically deep throating a pickle.
Yeah, absolutely. You would have ended up deep throating the garnish. It's more than a garnish, I suppose, when it's that size. Isn't that a lesson?
But then, luckily, Tom, as ever, was another tower of strength. I was supported by two towers of strength.
Oh, my goodness. It was like a high rise.
Because I can't think of a different... because I can't think of a different metaphor. And so then the show did get rescheduled for a couple of nights later, and it ended up being... marvellous. But it was quite stressful at the time.
You were very stressed about it. And there was talk of it happening that night.
I was very stressed.
I was stressed.
Yes.
We were all stressed. Everybody there was stressed. But we wanted to make it work for you.
We did. And we really tried. We tried to meet up. We tried to find somewhere where we had good enough signal that we could do it. And then it was just all very stressful. But we're sorry. We're here.
Mm.
My back and also the fire stopped us. Mm. And I hope you forgive me, us.
Mm. Susie, you mustn't apologise. People understand.
I mustn't apologise or must I? I think people understand. It was quite a stressful experience being at a comedy festival, wasn't it? A lovely, so joyous to be invited. And we had so much fun.
It was lovely. It was very nice. And I really enjoyed the shows I was doing. And the show we did every night, the British show, was a lot of fun because lots of reasons. Everybody there was so nice, and it meant that we could, kind of get into a bit of a routine, which was really lovely, actually, even though we were so far away from home. And and I'm always like fearful that particularly like US comedians, a lot of US comedians, I'm always like, oh no, I'm not like them. The audiences won't like me. But actually, they were very much on board and very nice, because I always feel like a lot of North American comics are much more like, I'm going to tell you something.
Let me tell you.
And I'm like, oh, I'm not really like that. I'm a bit more like, oh, have you ever made a sandwich with quiche. A pickle? Yes. I like quiche. and that's a bit more, it's a different sort of vibe, isn't it? But
it's a different thing.
But actually what I realized is I learned is that you can actually be you. You just have to relax and be yourself, as in life. The comedy club is a microcosm.
This is the thing. That's what I was about to say. And I wonder if any of our like-minded friends have felt similarly, not necessarily in like our world, but in like, where whatever their sort of area of work is, where you feel like you must go and network and you must go and talk to people. Mm. And some people are so good at talking to people. We went into a room and we were both in double-breasted suits and ties and people thought we were in a double act.
People thought we were in some sort of mime group, yeah, or that we were coming to talk to them about the Church of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah, may we talk to you about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour?
Yeah, I think we did look a bit like we might be Jehovah's Witnesses, indeed, or Mormons.
I think people thought that we were like characters.
Mm.
Like that girl in the street was like, oh my God, you're doing, you, what kind of characters are you? And I said, oh, this is just how we dress. And then she went, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. Sorry. Nice. And walked away.
What sort of character are you doing?
Not as embarrassing.
Yeah. Sarcastic ones. Unhappy ones.
But I thought we looked really nice.
We did, Susie. We did. Some people can't take it. Some people can't take it. No, that was great. And I did do a show that was exciting, but I got quite nervous about it because it was a lot of industry people, like you describe, and lots of kind of television people filming it. And I found it, I really got very nervous, and I think it was good for me to reconnect with who I am. It made me sort of confront like who I am on stage a bit and just kind of go, what am I doing here? Who am I? I was really like, couldn't, you know, was getting very like heart palpitations-y and had to like take myself outside and do some deep breathing. Cause it was a lot of, it felt very stressful. I found I absorbed a lot of stress from it all. And when I walked out on stage, I had to stop on stage and just explain to the audience who we're all kind of like, who are you? But I had to sort of go, I need to tell you, this is quite a strange experience for me. And I literally had to just tell them about how I was feeling, like I was in a therapy session. But they seemed to like me for that. And I thought that was a good lesson.
I think that's a great lesson. And I also think it's it tells you that, you know, honesty, even when, you know, even when we're in those moments that feel unbelievably stressful, just saying very honestly and going, oh God, I'm finding this quite nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Because I think that some of the, not all, but there's a lot of comics, as we said before, in America that can be a bit like, let me tell you. And I think that sort of jock comedy that we have a little bit of here, but is massive in the States.
Yeah.
I think can make you feel quite vulnerable if you're anything that's not a straight cis man.
Well, I suppose there is that as well. The other comics I was with were all very, very nice. And very kind and chatty. But I think I just got in my head like, oh, but I suppose I was, you know, I was the only Brit on the show. And I suppose I just sort of felt a bit like, oh God, how do I explain to them who I am? And I just had to take it literally on stage, took a deep breath and went, this is who I am. This is where I'm from. And like, cause they were like, they told me like I had to tell them what set I was going to do and what I was going to say on stage. And I felt like, oh gosh, I'm deviating from what they've asked me to do. And I just thought, actually, I'm glad I did that, because once I did that, they then kind of were like, it just felt like a much nicer gig. It goes to show sometimes if you're panicked, just take a deep breath, say how you're feeling and just tell people and then they can like get on board. That was my experience.
Totally. I would be totally endeared by someone if they said, well, I know that watching stand-ups that we know and love, like, you know, when they're doing new material or they're doing their shows and they're not quite bedded in yet, when they go, oh, I've like lost my way or something, oh, I didn't mean to tell you that then. Or, you know, I think people.
Yeah. People like that.
I think we're allowed to fail, not fail, but we're allowed to openly say, fail is totally the wrong word. We're allowed to like voice our insecurities.
I think that was it really.
Even if it's in a big place, because I think doing it in a public setting is very good.
Well, there was like 2000 people just staring at me. When I was like, I need to, and they were like, what is this? And they were very nice. And I think backstage, I got myself so worked up. And then actually when I went out there and I just sort of, which I would never have done in the past, I would have never have taken that moment just to take a deep breath and go, I need to just acknowledge this. In the past, I would never have done that, but I was quite proud of myself that I did do that actually. And just take a moment and just kind of work out what I need to do to calm me down. And that was that. And then, like I say, the audience, you know, were really on board after that. So it goes to show sometimes if we take that leap to go, this is who I am, people go, oh, thank you. They don't go, what? And I think because everybody, I think North American comics can sometimes seem very confident. Like we said,
yeah.
It can feel like, oh gosh, what do you even understand if I say I'm not confident at the moment? And they did. So it's very relieving. So that's my advice to anybody out there who's feeling a bit, if you're feeling
nervous about
nervous.
Something.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good just to voice it, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, it doesn't need to be in front of 2,000 people. It can be to yourself or to a friend.
Yes.
Like, oh, I'm finding this very overwhelming.
Yes. Yeah. And that's okay. It's a human experience. People like, there's a strength in owning your owning. What does that mean? There's a strength in it, in just being you and just acknowledging who you are, whatever your feeling is.
When you said owning,
yeah,
it sounded like you were an inspirational quote on Instagram.
Yeah, that's what I realized. I was like, where did that
own your fear?
Like, and then I was like, where have we got all this, like, how is this phrasing
crept into my language?
Yeah, this bullshit language. It's all like, because it is like, own it, do this. And it's all that language that I'm like, oh, but I can't, I don't know. What do you mean own it? There's not a purchase involved. I've got it. Okay. I don't know if I'm owning it.
I don't know that I'm owning it. I think I'm just here.
I'm just here. Is that not enough? Yeah. That's social media. Don't get me started on that.
No. Yeah. So you've gone straight to Rome from Montreal.
Well, I went straight to Rome because all roads lead here. And
also your plane that you got on went there.
And also the plane went here. So that's why I'm here. And I'm working here for a few days and it's absolutely lovely and the food is just out of control.
I'm so jealous of whatever you're going to be having for your tea tonight. Are you going to go pasta or pizza?
Well, I had pizza yesterday.
What did you have on it, Tom?
I had a capricciosa, which involved an egg, which I know is controversial, but...
Oh, no, I like those ones.
Yeah, I liked it. It was a hard-boiled
egg.
Nice
and runny.
No, it was a hard-boiled.
Oh, fuck that.
Well, I didn't like to be rude, but...
You couldn't say fuck that after they'd given it to you?
There's been a... No, I just thought that was probably not, you know, the done thing. There's been a lot of ham, cheese... And bread in various combinations, which I'm not complaining about because those are probably my favourite things.
No, that's very much... That's your three major food groups, isn't it?
Those are the only food groups I have, actually, yeah.
And chicken.
And then chicken as a side.
Rotisserie.
Yeah, rotisserie, just turning on the side, yeah. I think I'm going to have pasta tonight just to vary it up.
Oh, nice. So yeah. Jersey. I'm at my mum's and I had a very 90s tea.
Oh. What did you have?
I had a chicken chasseur.
Oh, that's nice. Ooh,
it's
lovely.
So 90s.
Nice.
It comes in like a sachet that mum mixes with water.
Oh, that sounds great. Does it in the oven?
Yeah, it does it in the oven. Mm. And it cooks for about 3 weeks. No. it was very, very reminiscent of my youth.
Oh, I love that. And of course, what was your carbohydrate there? Did you have a mashed potato? Roast potato, what did you have?
Roasties.
Oh,
there's
lovely.
Always roasties at my mum's.
Lovely, perfect.
She's always got a roastie on.
Mm, it's the best. People would be like, oh, with like a casserole type thing, you've got to have mash. But I'm always like, no, I like the crunch of a roast.
Of course. Mm. But you like your dinners quite dry, don't you? You won't go for gravy on a roast.
Well, it depends. I don't like gravy powder because it reminds me of when I worked in the golf club. But I'm moving beyond that.
When you're in the dessert trolley?
Yeah, it was some really fucked up desserts.
Would you like your apple crumble with gravy?
Bistro with that, sir? Bistro, yeah. I just remember it. I just never cared for it.
What time is it now in Rome?
When in Rome, it is 8:52.
Oh, Tom, you've got to go and have your dinner.
I'm going to go and have dinner.
I didn't realise that it was as late as that.
Don't worry, I had an ice cream at 6, so I'm not starving.
What flavour, just quickly?
Pistache.
Oh, a lovely choice.
A lovely choice, but it was melted. It was like water by the time I got it to my gob. So hot.
Tom, that's too hot.
It's too hot. It's too hot.
That's too hot. We had a nice ice cream, didn't we? In Montreal.
Oh, that was a nice ice cream you treated us to, Suze, yeah.
Oh, listen.
I had a sorbet that day.
You did have a sorbet that day?
Yeah.
Well, listen, you go and have a nice pasta, and next week when we catch up, you can tell everyone what you had.
Oh, I'll definitely do that, Suze. Yeah, that's a lovely idea.
Yeah. So accept our apologies for last week.
Soz, everyone.
And we're so delighted to be back. Soz, bab. And if you're ever in a fire, do follow a lesbian.
That's the advice.
If there's one thing you can take from this, it's that.
Let me tell you, that's the most important thing, I think, yeah. Well done, everybody.
Okay, then, we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Well done, everyone. Keep going.
Everyone, keep going. Okay.
Okay.
Bye for now, everyone.
All right, take care.
Bye. 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 Bye.